We begin the current daf in Masechtas Baba Kama, daf Ayin Vav. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining our previous Mishnah. In other words, our Mishnah spoke about, in contrast to the Mishnah before that in daf Ayin, regarding cases of exemptions of, although someone slaughtered or sold the ox or sheep that they stole, still there's not going to be a liability for the dal v'hei for the 4 or 5 time penalty, which is usually in place. Now, one of those cases was, as our Mishnah said, gonav v'hikdish. If someone stole an ox or a sheep, then it became hektish, then he slaughtered or sold it, then he's going to be exempt from the dal v'he. So on that the Gemara asked, Amri, they said, we understand the basic halacha that the Mishnah is trying to convey, that there's not going to be a liability for the slaughtering, and the reason being is the chi kot tavach, the hektish kot tavach, because when the guy is going to, when the thief is slaughtering it, he's slaughtering that of Hekdesh. In other words, as Rashi explains, obviously we're talking about that the owner was already Miyash, already gave up hope of getting it back what was stolen from him. Because if it was before Yish, then actually, as the Gemara said enough, Samachesam obeys, it wouldn't even be able to become Hekdesh in the first place. Him, it's because it's not his, and his because it's not in his Rishus. So the only way you could have this case conceptualized of that it became Hekdesh after it was stolen is that the original owner was Miyash. So since the original owner gave up hope, so there's Yish, and it changes domains from the owners to Hekdesh, so you have Yish, and you have Shini Rishus, so therefore Hekdesh acquires it at that point in time. So we understand why you're not slaughtering, as the Gemara says, Beloy Demori Kotavach. You're not slaughtering the owner's ox or sheep, because it already went over to someone else's possession, specifically that of Hekdesh. So we understand that that's why you wouldn't be Chayev on that. However, the question is, Elaha Hekdesh Lichayev, on what's called the Maisa Hekdesh, the act of being Makdish, should create the liability of Dal V'hei. Why? Because Mali Machr Lehedid Mali Machr LeShamayim, why does it make a difference to me when you're liable Dal V'hei for selling to a common person? There's two ways, either slaughtering or selling the ox or sheep that you stole. So when you go ahead, in this case of when you were stolen, being makdish to hektish, and then slaughtering, or whatever it is that you did, you're not going to be liable because you're not slaughtering or selling that guy's thing anymore because it's now hektish's thing. But for the act of being makdish is essentially selling this sheep or ox to hektish. That's what you're doing. You're giving it over to another domain, just like what you do with a sale. So what's the difference if you're selling to a commoner and you have Dalvei or selling to Hekdesh? So the act of being Hekdesh itself, forget about the Tzvicha Mechira afterwards. The act of Hekdesh should be a Mechira that makes the Ganav liable for Dalvei. Why is he exempt in this case from Dalvei? So that answers the Gemara. Hamani, who's the town of our Mishnah? Rib Shimon. He's going like Rib Shimon. Dama, that he says, Kachim Shechayiv Bachur Yusun. He says that regarding Karban is Kachim, things of Hekdesh, which there's a liability, a responsibility to those kachim, meaning if something happens to it, then the person who is makdish will have to compensate hektish. B'shusei demarikai, it's considered still in the domain of the owner. So as Rashi explains, the case would be talking about, for example, let's say where the ganav says, Hare alai oila, says it's upon me the responsibility, where there's two ways, either you say hare zu, which that you don't have responsibility, or you say hare alai, it's coming upon me, bring a oila. Now, then he goes and he takes this sheep that he stole and he says, okay, he designates that sheep to fulfill the vow that he took of Hare Alai Ayla, that I'm going to bring a carbon Ayla. Now, since there's a liability of responsibility when you say Hare Alai, which means say if the carbon that you then designated ends up getting lost, then you do have to replace it. So that's what's called in halacha, Dava HaGarim LeMamon. This is a cause for money, is like money itself. In other words, when he's being makdish, when he says, this animal that I stole, let it be hektish, it's not a mechira. It's not totally giving over to hektish. Why not? Because ultimately, if something happens to this animal, he will have to reimburse. Now, if it was totally sold already, it was like totally given over to hektish, then he wouldn't have any liability. From the fact that there is liability, so since it's garim lamamin, as if that if something happens to this animal which he made hektish would cause him some type of a loss, it's like mamadam, it's like it's still his money, and therefore it's still like he owns it, although he was makdish it, and that's why it's not like a mechira to hektish, because on some level he still owns it. Like Rabbi Shimon says, a kachim that yichai bachur yusan, that then is still considered like his, whoever that his is, in this case it's the ganav, and therefore it's not like he's old to hektish. Now, however, Rashi does point out, but regarding the slaughtering which comes after the hektish, he's still going to be potter. Because although that it's in the rishus of the ganav, and that is, if let's say it gets lost, then the ganav is going to be liable for the responsibility to hekdesh. However, it does at least take effect, and that it's called hekdesh, to at least remove it from the domain of the original owner who he stole it from. So he's not slaughtering the original owner's thing, so it's somewhere in the middle. It's not hekdesh all the way, which means to say that, oh, then it was hekdesh, like you sold it. No. Still the ganavs who was makdeshed, and therefore it's not like a mechira to hekdesh, because you see that he's liable if something happens to it, so we still consider it like it's his. However, the designation of the title hekdesh does take effect enough for it to say that it's not the original owner's anymore, because now it's hekdesh's. So it's enough of hekdesh to say there's not slaughtering the original owners, but yet still it's not going to be enough to be considered like a mechira to hekdesh, because there's still the gerem lamamin part on the part of the ganav, and that's why he's not chayef for dal vehei, neither on the maisa hekdesh and neither on the tvicha mechira that comes after the maisa hekdesh. Now, however, on this answer, the Gemara asks, but hamad the sefer b'shimin, this opinion being stated here in the Mishnah is the Tanakama. The end of our Mishnah, of our previous Mishnah, the end says Reb Shimon Omer. So obviously, have a reisha la Reb Shimon. You can't say the Tanakama is Reb Shimon if Reb Shimon is disputing something that was said by the Tanakama. So you can't then explain that the understanding of this halacha is based on Reb Shimon when Reb Shimon is obviously not the Tanakama. So Ella, rather, the Gemara says, Hachamai Iskinan, here what are we talking about to explain this halacha? Is Bekachim Kalim. It's specifically talking about the lower level Kachim. For example, let's say that he was Makdish as a Karbin Shlamim. Valib Rabbi Yisrael Galili, it's going to be an opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Galili. That's who the Tanakhama of Mishnah would be talking about. Dama, the Rabbi Yisrael Galili says in the first paragraph of Yud Beis and Mabeis, he explains that Kachim Kalim Mamin Bailam Hu. The lower level Kachim, not like a Chatas or Ashim, those which are lower level, like Shlamim, the lighter kachim, they're considered owned by the owner. And therefore, it's considered in his domain. So therefore, although the ganav, who is the owner, was makdashid, it's not like he sold it to hekdesh. Now again, Rashi points to the same idea, but at least the designation of the title of kachim does remove it from the original owner, who is called the marakam, the one who he stole it from, that because it's called hekdesh, it's not his anymore, and therefore when he's slaughtering it, he's not slaughtering the original owners, but again, it's still considered mamon bailam, it's still the ganav's, although he made it into a shlamim, it's not yet totally hekdesh, it's still owned by him. And that's why it's not like a mechira to hekdesh. Now on this answer, the Gemara still asks, but on this answer, the Gemara says, avol kachim kachim ma. So you're saying that the aloha of our Mishnah would only be regarding kachim kalim, because that's considered a contribution, like literally mamon bailam. But regarding if it was kachim kachim, so Misham Tashlumi Dava Chamisha, according to what you're saying, then the Halach of our Mishnah would agree that the act of being Makdashid is like selling it to Hekdash, and therefore it's like a Mechira that you had after the Geneva, which would make you liable for Dal Vehei. So on that, the Gemara asks, then Adetani Reisha, we call the previous Mishnah on Daf Ayin Med Aleph the Reisha, because it has the flip side of these Halachas which are exempt. There it says those cases that you'd be Chayv. So ask the Gemara, instead of the Reisha saying, Ganav v'tavach v'achakach hekdesh, where it tells you a way that you'd be chayv. Our Mishnah says, if you steal, then makdesh, then slaughter or sell, so then you're not slaughtering or selling his, you're slaughtering that of hekdesh, and you're exempt from hekdesh. But the previous Mishnah had said, a case that you would be chayv. If you steal and slaughter, v'achakach hekdesh, and only then you're makdesh, so you did the slaughtering beforehand, then misham teshul midal v'hei, then you do have to pay four or five times the amount. Now, sounds like from the Mishnah, that the only way he was able to find the case of being liable for these variables is only if that you were makdashid after you already slaughtered. But on that, asked the Gemara, based on what we just said, liflik v'lisni bididai, could have differentiated even in this case, and it could have said achiv avdal v'hei, even if you makdashid before the tvicha. And it could have said as follows. When did we say, meaning the halach of our Mishnah of when you would be exempt? That's b'kashim kalim. That's by lower level kashim. But by higher level kachim, like chatz nashim, misham tashlum abav hamish, you could be liable for dal vehei, even if you were makdish before you did the tvicha. What do you mean? Makdish before the tvicha? How could you be chayiv? Aren't you slaughtering that of hekdish? Yes, but for the act of being makdish in itself, since it's not yours anymore, it's like being mechir to hekdish, that itself should be mechayiv you. Why does it have to say only if you makdish it after the tvicha, then you'll be chayv? Similarly, you could have, even by being makdish before the tvicha, that you'll be chayv by kachim kachim for the act of being makdish. So rather the Gemara says, you're right. It's not like either one of these two terutzim that's like Reb Shimon or Bisek Lili. Rather, the Gemara says, Lo'ilam lo'ishna kachim kachim, lo'ishna kachim kal. The halacha of our Mishnah doesn't make a difference if what was being makdish was as a kachim kachim, like chatzis and ashim, or if he was makdish like kachim kal, like a korban shlam. It doesn't make a difference. Now, with the kashlach, but then the question that we started off this discussion was, Mali machri lehedyid, mali machri l'shamayim. But we asked, okay, fine. So regarding your tvicha mechiri that you did after the hekdesh, that we understand you're not going to be chayiv for because lav de maror katabach, because it's slaughtering that of hekdesh, not of the original owner. But we asked, but the act of being makdeshit, of giving this over to hekdesh, is like selling it to hekdesh. So why is it any different than selling to a commoner, which is mechayiv yudal behei? Here you should also be. And that the Gemara says, no, there is a difference. Machir lehedid, when you sell an animal to a commoner, to a regular person, mei kara, originally, before you sold this animal. So this ox was called the Ganav's ox. So it was called Tur de Reuven. It was called Reuven's ox. Now, Bahashtin, now when he sells it, it's called, based on the consumer, Tur de Shimon. It's called Shimon's ox. So that's why over there by a sale, you have Dalvehei, because it changes definition. But Machir L'Shamayim, when you quote, sell it to Shemayim, to have it mean when you makdash it, before it was called Reuven's ox, and it's still called Reuven's ox. In other words, it still has the designation of the one who is Makdisha on it, that it's called his Karban Oila, his Karban Shlamim, and therefore answers the Gemara, that's why it's not going to be Chayiv for, quote, Mechira to Shemayim, because it's not considered a Mechira. Mechira means to say that it changes whose is it. Is it Reuven's, now it's Shimon's, but by Kachim you don't have that. Before it was Reuven's Chulin, now it's Reuven's Kachim, but it's still Reuven's, and therefore it's not considered a mechira, and that's why you're exempt on that part. And again, for the tvicha mechira part, you're exempt too, because it's that of hekdesh, and you're not slaughtering or selling that of the original owners. Now, as we quoted before, and that's why we said that the Tanakhama couldn't be Reb Shimon, the Mishnah ends off with an enigmatic statement of Reb Shimon, Oimer v'chul, Reb Shimon says that he said it depends. If it's a kachim that you chayv b'achur yuson, that there's liability for responsibility if something happens to that kachim, you're going to have to reimburse hekdesh. So then there is going to be a chiyuv of dalvehei. If there's no liability for achrayis, let's say it says harezu, there's no responsibility, then you're not going to be chayv dalvehei. So the Gemara's assumption is that his halacha was going right back on this previous halacha that we just quoted before, which was this halacha of ganav hekdesh v'achikach tavach, where the Tanakhama said that you're going to be exempt from dalvehei. On that, Reb Shimon is saying, well, it depends. If you're chayv b'achur yuson, then you are going to be chayv dalvehei. If you're not chayv b'achur yuson, then you're going to be exempt. So Ami, they asked, look, nehid is of Reb Shimon, that although it's obvious Reb Shimon holds, that mali marchal hedyu, mali marchal shemayim, that, okay, he doesn't hold of what the Gemara had said before. He holds that there, and because the Tanakhama held that, no, you're always going to be exempt. Because there is a difference, as we said, but there's not considered selling to Shemayim. Obviously, Reb Shimon holds that there are cases that you're going to be chayv, specifically as he says regarding when you're chayv b'achur yuson, then there is going to be chiv dalvehei, is because he holds that that act of being, you can't be chayv on the tvicha, and that is, so rather it's because, obvious is because of the selling. It's like you're selling it to Shemayim. So the reason is because the Gemara assumes now that, as we mentioned before, it's obvious Reb Shimon cannot be mechayv for the tvicha that comes after the hekdesh. Because even if it was separated for a neder, which that there was achrayis, that's the case that Reb Shimon said you'd be chayv dal vehev for, that it to say that it goes out of the domain of the original owner and he becomes the shomer for hekdesh, and therefore when you're slaughtering it, you're not slaughtering that of the original owners. That's the Gemara's assumption, that it can't be that he's going to be chayv for the tficha. So then what's the case talking about? Reb Shimon says, oh, if there's a chayv achrayis, then the ganav would be chayiv for dal vehei. On which part? Can't be on the tficha part, because once he was makdashid, even when it's something that of achrayis, so let's say it's not totally that of hekdesh, but it's still not can be considered original owners, because he's now responsible for that, and it's not the original owner. So it must be that Reb Shimon is mechayiv, must be, as the Gemara is assuming, for the act, for the moment of when he was makdashid. Because that's considered like a sale. As we said before, it was pretty obvious that no one's going to be mechayiv for the tficha because it's considered already hekdesh, is not the original owners. But okay, but maybe for the act of being makdash it. And that's where he would dispute the Tanakhama. But on that, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then Ibchami Boyle should have actually said the other way around. And that is as follows. Kachim shechayiv b'achriyusan, regarding kachim, which the ganav is liable for the achrayis. Let's say, as we mentioned it before, where he says hari olai oilo, and then he says, okay, I'm going to designate this, which he stole, as the hektish. So regarding karbanis that he has the achrayis, there actually should be potter on the being makdish, which is what we're calling the mechira l'shamayim. Why? Because dakati le'nafik mirshuse, it has not yet left his domain, as we said, because there's an achrayis. So if there's an achrayis, on some level it's still doa germ l'mamim k'mamim, it's like still his money, and if it's not like a sale. Now, as we said before, so if he's not going to be chayv on the ma'isa of hektish, he's also for sure not going to be chayv on the act of the tvicha, because it already is not the original owner's, and neither is there a liability by hektish. Now, whereas kachim she'ena chayv b'achriyus and chayv, regarding karban, the kachim that there is no responsibility, let's say it says harezu, then actually there he should be chayv for the act of being makdashid, because that is like a mechira, because the mafkilim reshtusei, that's totally not my domain anymore. I have no responsibility. Something happens to this kachim, don't come to me. I said harezu, okay, I'll bring it. Whatever happens to it, it's kachim's loss. Then it is like totally I'm giving it over. So then how do we understand Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon was saying that there are cases that you could be chayv. So the Gemara only entertained that to must mean that would be on the act of being makdish. The act of tvicha, how could you be chayv in the tvicha? It's hektish is already, it can't be chayv for the original owner's tvicha. So, and then hektish yipater. So what are you going to be chayv for? It must be the act of being makdish, which is mechir l'shamayim. So, but which case would be mechir l'shamayim? The act of that there is no achrayis, where the ganav has no achrayis, so he totally sold it off to them. When there is achrayis, he still has it on some level. So why does he say in the reverse? Why does he say when there's chiv achrayis, then there's dal v'hei? When there's no chiv achrayis, then you're exempt. But that should be exactly the opposite of how we just explained. So Amidah said, you're right. Pshimin amilsa achritikai. Pshimin's actually not going back on this previous halacha that we just mentioned. He's actually going back on a totally different halacha. And that is, where, let's say, if the ganav is makdish something, whether for a neder, which is when he has achrayis, where he says hari alai, or whether for a nedava, when he has no achrayis, when he says harezu, you're right. Reb Shimon would not be b'chayiv him for, quote, the mechira, meaning he wouldn't be liable for the act of being makdishit, because at that point in time, it still has his designation, it's still called his nedava, it's still called his neder, and neither would he be chayiv for the tvicha, and that's because, as we said before, because it's not in the ownership of the original owner anymore. Rather, the case that he's actually going on is regarding when the ganav steals something that the original owner was makdish. Now, since the original owner is chayiv in achrayis, so therefore when the ganav slaughters it, he's actually slaughtering the original owner's thing. And the reason being is because it's a davar gerem l'mamim k'mamadami. Since this thing that the original owner has responsibility for, although it's already hektish, but when something happens to it, he's going to have to reimburse hektish. So when the ganav goes now and slaughters it, he's causing a loss for the original owner. So it's regarding that case that Reb Shimon is talking about. V'achigtani, and it's going actually on a halacha that was mentioned in the Mishnah of Samach Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah there said as follows. Ein ha-goinim achar ganav misham tashlum midal behe. The Mishnah said one halacha is that when a thief steals from a different thief who had stolen from the original owner, so then he doesn't have to pay dalad vehei. So too vechein, kainiv hektish mi beis bailam pater. If someone steals hektish from the house of the owner, who he was the owner of the animal, who was makdish and he's going to give it to hektish, someone steals it from him, he's going to be exempt. My time, what's the reason? Because the pasuk says, v'gunav mi beis ish, if it's stolen from the house of the owner, which tells us, v'lemi beis hektish, not from the house of hektish. So therefore, A, if you steal from a ganav, it's not my base ish, it's from the house of the ganav. And also regarding the second halacha, if he steals from the owner, hektish, it's not really stealing from base ish, it's really my base hektish, because it's really hektish as it's not his. Now, on that is where Reb Shimon Omer. That's Reb Shimon's halacha. Reb Shimon says, no. It says, kachim shechayev b'achriyusan, chayev. Although that, yes, it says you have to steal my base ish, and this is not my base ish, because it's hektish as it's not his. But he says, regarding if there's a responsibility from the owner to reimburse if something happens to it, then the ganav steals from him will be chayv. My time, what's the reason? Karina beva gunna mebesa ish. Because we do call it stealing from the house of the owner. How do we consider it? Because it's a davar gerem l'mamim, and it's kamama dami. It is like his, even though it's really hektish, because since something happens, he's going to have to reimburse. So therefore, we consider it like his, and it's like you're stealing from that person. If the owner has no responsibility, he says he made a nadava harezu, which if something happens, he has no liability, then pater. Then the ganav who steals from him will be exempt. Then it's not called stealing from the house of the owner because it's not his anymore. It has nothing to do with him anymore. Whatever happens to it is not his loss. It's all totally of hektish. So regarding that halacha, Rabbi Shimon was making this difference regarding chayv b'acharyasin and not b'chayv b'acharyasin regarding the halacha of Dal Bei. So again, it's going on a totally different halacha. Now the Gemara asked Mechti, let's see. Sheminan Leila Reb Shimon, we had heard according to Reb Shimon in the previous Mishnah of Einam and Aleph, regarding the case when he said that, although you chayef adal v'hei when you do a tzvicha, but he says that let's say you slaughter and you find that the animal is a treifa, which is totally not kosher, it had a moral defect, says Reb Shimon that you're going to be exempt for the dal v'hei. Now what's the reason? Because the Amar, he said, shechita she'ena ruya, a slaughtering that's not fit, that doesn't make the animal kosher, it's not a fit shechita, loishma shechita, it's not called, quote, slaughtering. You didn't do, slaughtering makes the animal kosher. If it's a treifa and the slaughtering is not going to work, so he says, you're not chayef adal v'hei on that type of a tzvicha. So therefore, ask the Gemara, kachim nami shechita she'ena ruya hi. Kachim is also when you slaughter it, not making it kosher. The reason being is because regarding kachim, which are slaughtered outside of the Azara, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, are pasul. So the question is, why did Reb Shimon say that kachim, that when there's a chiv achrayis, then if you slaughter it, you are going to be chayv dal v'hei, meaning because that will be considered begunim b'meisa ish, because there is a davar gremla mammon over there. But the problem is, it sounds like that if he steals kachim and he slaughters it, he's going to be chayv dal v'hei, but how can you say that? Slaughtering kachim out of the Beis HaMikdash is not a shechita ruya. You can't eat such an animal. It's not fit. It's not kashering it. And therefore, it shouldn't even be considered a tav. So yes, it's begun to be ish, but it's not v'tavach. It's not making a kosher. So how can you say chayv dal v'hei? So the Gemara says ki asr avdimi amr Rabbi Yechon, and he said, you're right. It's told me b'sheicha temimim mebefnim l'shem b'ilam. He didn't slaughter it outside. He stole somebody's carbon. He then slaughters it unblemished inside the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of the original owner. So it's regarding such a case where you did a gun of Mibesa Ish because it's a chiv achrayis, and then you did a tavach that's going to make it kosher because it's slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. I've had the Gemara ask, but v'harei chazer ken labailim, such a case, the principle is going right back to the owner. If he slaughtered for the purpose of fulfilling the obligation of that original owner, so he's actually giving it back to him. He's fulfilling that guy's obligation. So where is there the theft? The theft actually, he did hashavas gezeila. He actually returned it to the guy by slaughtering it for him. So why would you be chayiv for geneva and tzvicha mechira? So Amar Yitzchak Bar Avan, he says, it must be talking about shenishpach hadam, where, no, he didn't end up giving him back the principal, because he actually did not end up fulfilling that guy's obligation, because the blood spilled out before it was able to be sprayed. And the guy's obligation is only when there's zrikas hadam, where there's four avoid, shechita, kabbalah, haylacha, zrika. Zrika is the final conclusion of the kapara, and you take the blood from the animal and you throw it on the mizbeach, it spilled out before. So he never ended up getting that guy's carbon fulfilled, so therefore he never gave back the principal. But at the time of the slaughtering, it was a fit shechita, meaning it fulfilled the shechita at that point in time, because if the blood wouldn't have spilled that, it would have been a kosher animal where the kohen would have eaten from it, etc. And therefore, since it was a shechita ruya, that's why there was a chiyuv dal v'hei, and although seemingly that returned the principal, it's not because the blood spilled out before it. Another approach to the Gemara says, ki asa ravin am Rabbi Yechanan. When Ravin came, he said the name of Rabbi Yechanan. A different answer with the Gemara's question is b'sheicha tamimim bifnim shaloi l'shem b'ilam. Very simply, very similar, but it avoids the other question about that it's returning the principle. It's not returning the principle. He slaughtered it unblemished in the Beis HaMikdash, but not for the purpose of the original owner, where the shechita, the slaughtering, is a kosher shechita, as the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, kala zvachim shenizbuchu shaloi l'shman akashem. If you slaughter any carbon besides some exceptions, if you slaughter it not for the purpose of the owner or of the animal, it's still going to be kosher. It's just that it's not like considered like you return the principal to the original owner. And the reason being is because, as the Mishnah there says, la'ol l'ba'al m'shem chayva, he has not fulfilled his obligation. The animal is kosher. It's a kosher animal. It could be eaten from. But the original owner does not fulfill his obligation because it wasn't done l'shmai for his purpose, for his sake. So therefore, that fits the equation. It is considered a shechita ru'uya, and therefore, according to Reb Shimon, you are going to be chayv on the tevicha, but it's not considered returning the principle because it was done shaloi l'shem b'ilam. That's the second approach. As we continue to Amid Bey's, Rish Lakish, he says a third approach, says b'shechit bali mumen. It's talking about where he slaughtered this kachim that was blemished which that is a type of kachim, you're allowed to slaughter bachutz, that was done outside, which therefore, when that's redeemed, and it was blemished, that you're allowed to slaughter outside, so that is the shechita ruya, and then you could eat from that shechita, so it's regarding that kachim, where if it's chayv bachur yusan, so it's begunim ben beis ish, and it's going to be considered betavach, because the shechita ruya, that's where Bishim was saying, that the ganav is going to be chayv dal behe. Now the Gemara tells us that tohi bar belaza, which Rashi says tohi is like a term of like when there's a jug and you want to smell it and inspect it. So Rabbi Elazar was inspecting and asking questions on these last two answers of these approaches that the Gemara had given regarding answering this Gemara's question of how is the Shechita Ru'uya. So first of all, according to Ravin's approach of L'Rabbi Yechanan, of what Rabbi Yechanan had said, which he said that it's going to be a Shechita Shaloi Lishma L'Shem Bailam, where it's not all L'Shem Chayba, so it's not returning the principle, it's a Shechita Ru'uya. So on that, the Gemara asks, but Shechita Materis, does the slaughter permit the Kachim? No. But Lezrika Materis, the throwing of the blood permits it. In other words, at the time of the slaughtering, that wasn't a Shechita Ru'uya. How could you say that there's going to be Chiv Dal Vehei on the slaughtering? Slaughtering is only when the Shechita Ru'uya. Regarding Kachim is different than regular Chulun. When you take a regular unconsecrated animal and you slaughter it, so that permits it. You can go ahead and eat it. But Kachim is not like that, because the only thing that permits it is when the blood is ultimately thrown. So that means to say when there was a slaughtering, that didn't permit the animal. You can't consider that as a tavach to be mechayev the ganav, because that's only when you slaughtered if it made it into a kosher thing. But by kachim, by slaughtering, it doesn't make it into a kosher thing, because it's only the latest rika that permits it. So how can you say yechayev dal vehei on the slaughtering of a kachim bifnim? Moreover, he asked, l'Rish Lakish, according to the last interpretation, that of Rish Lakish, that he said it was talking about that, no, it's a balmum, blemish, that you're allowed to slaughter outside, so that's a shechita ruya. On that he asks, what shechita materis? Do you think that it's the slaughtering that permits it? As the Mefarshim explained, they were talking about here that it wasn't a redeemed animal yet. It was first blemished, and they slaughtered it, and only later would he then redeem it, which makes it kosher. Valipidiyah materis, it's the redemption that permits it. You can't eat even a balmum of kachim, which was slaughtered outside, until it's redeemed. So therefore, he doesn't understand these last two approaches of the Gemara. What are you saying that there's Shechita Ru'uya? According to Rabbi Yechanan, Ravin's version of Rabbi Yechanan is difficult, because the Shechita is not Materis, it's a Zrika Materis, and therefore it's not a Shechita Kot Ru'uya to be considered Betavach, and neither is even by the Balmum Bachut considered as the Shechita, as a Betavach, because the Shechita is not permitting it. It's not quote a Shechita Ru'uya, because it's the Pedi, it's the redemption that permits it. So I think my answer is Ishtamitze. It was omitted. Rabbi Loza forgot. Had Rabbi Shimon, he didn't know of this halacha of Rabbi Shimon, where yes, Rabbi Shimon says it has to be shechita ru'uya, but these answers of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish do work according to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds additionally kala oimid lizra kizarg dami. Anything that was fit, that was ready to be sprayed. In this case, let's say Rabbi Yechonon's answer, where regarding the you need to have the zrikas dam. But as long as it's ready to be sprayed, it's kizarag dam. It's like it was sprayed already. And therefore, when you're doing the shechita, which at that time you could already do the zrika, then the shechita is being matered, because it's like you already sprayed already. So to b'chol o'imid lift is kipadur dami. Anything that's fit, that's ready to be redeemed, it's like it was redeemed. And therefore, a blemished kachim is like it's redeemed, because since you're able to ultimately do that, it's like it's already like that. Now, Rashi just points out one thing, that it must be talking about like this answer of Rish Lakish, that it had always been a blemished animal before it was even made into hektish. Because if it was first hektish, and only then, once it was a carbon, did it develop a blemish, then actually then it wouldn't be allowed to be redeemed after it was slaughtered. And the reason being is because as we learn elsewhere, Masechtas Temur and the Aflam Abeis and Abeis, that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish explains according to Rabbi Shimon that kachim is beach, are included in halacha of what's called hamada varacha, which means to say that you have to be able to assess it and evaluate it. Now, but once an animal is slaughtered, you can't do hamada, stand it up to evaluate it, and therefore you wouldn't be able to go ahead and redeem it because it needs hamada varacha, which would only work if it's still alive. So once it's slaughtered, you can't do pidyon anymore. But if it was originally a balmum, then there Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish agrees for Rabbi Shimon, that then you would be able to redeem it even without Hamad of Aracham. So that's just an important note that Rashi says that it must be talking about a case of what the Gemara is answering now, which was saying that is availability of Pidyon, is even when it was slaughtered, must be talking about that it was a Balmum before it was even Hektish. As the Gemara proves these two points, which resolve Rabbi Yochanan's and Rish Lakish's interpretation for how this works out for Rabbi Shimon, that it can be considered a shechita ruya. This halacha that we're saying for Rabbi Shimon, that anything that's ready to be sprayed is like it was sprayed, the time like within the braisa. Rabbi Shimon says, yesh neiser, there is, regarding neiser, neiser is an animal that was left over the designated time that's allowed to be eaten. Certain karbanos can be eaten for one day and one night, for 2 days and a night. They have different limitations. If it was left over past that time, so it's considered neiser, which is left over, then that's forbidden meat, has to be burnt. So says Rabbi Shimon, there are certain karbanas of neiser, which was left over, shumetame tumas eichlin, which could contract tumas eichlin, which means, say, generally, anything that's an edible item could contract certain tumas of tumas eichlin. Food items contract certain tumas. So he says there are certain karbanas of neiser, which could contract tumas eichlin. But yesh neiser she'enim tumas tumas eichlin, and there are certain karbanas which were left over the designated time that cannot contract tumas eichlin. Now, what's important to understand is that according to Rabbi Shimon, Isuri hana, things that are forbidden to have derive any benefit from it, cannot contract tumas eichel. And the reason being is because he expounds the pasuk which talks about the halach of tumas eichel in the Torah, that it says mikol eichel asher ye'ochel, from any edible thing which could be eaten. He expounds that to say that a food which could be eaten by others, whether by a non-Jew or by a Jew, that's considered an eichel, as the Gemara explains in the first parak in Masechta Bechorot Daf Tesama Beis. Now, however, if it had what's called a shas heter, a moment of when it was permissible to have benefit from it, from when it was slaughtered, then it already could had the status of being able to be makabel tama. So even if it becomes forbidden at a later point in time, it will become tame, it will be able to contract tama because it had a moment, and that's going to be the important point of this halacha of kala oimid, it had the opportunity, therefore it already will be able to be makabel tama. So he says sometimes you'll have noise that could contract tumas eichlin, sometimes not. So ketzad, what would the case be talking about? Lon lefnei zrika, if it was lon, meaning it was spent overnight, which is generally certain karbanos become noiser in the morning, so it was overnight because it could be eaten for one day and one night. So for example, let's say certain kachim that become pasul, that become noiser after one night, like a karban taido, all types of kachim. If let's say the blood wasn't thrown, so it spent overnight, which it became past the time, became nicer before the blood was ever thrown. So therefore, the food was never permitted to be eaten. As we mentioned before, kachim, it's not permitted when you slaughter it. It's only permitted when you throw the blood. So says Rav Shimon, in such a case, einim etamet tumas eichlin. So it's never going to contract tumas eichlin. As we said, it never had a shas hatter, never had a moment that it was permitted to be eaten by anybody. So, and then it already becomes nicer. So it's asa bahana, so there's never a time that it was able to contract tumas eichlin. So even if a tummy thing touches, it's not going to have tumas eichlin. But la'ach azrika, if let's say it only was spent overnight, meaning it became nicer after the blood was already thrown, so it was allowed to be eaten, so then matama tumas eichlin, then it will contract tumas eichlin, even though now it's nicer because it did have a moment, it had a time that it was able to be eaten by people. Now, says the Gemara of Akaimelon, that we had established already in Perek HaMenachos VaNesachim, that might lifnei zrika. What does Rabbi Shimon mean when he says that if it became noiser before zrika? It means koidim shenira lezrika. It means before it even was able to be sprayed. In other words, that there wasn't, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that there wasn't even enough time in the day to have the blood being sprayed. And therefore, it wasn't even imidli zark on that day. So therefore, you can't say it was kazarik dummy to make it that as if it's an edible item. And we explained that what's la'achar zrika? What does it mean to say that if it became nicer after the blood was thrown? It doesn't mean that the blood was actually thrown. It means la'achar shenira lezrika. After that, it was able to be sprayed. So as the Gemara explains, kainim shenira lezrika mahi. What does it mean before it was even able to be sprayed, it became nicer already? It means to say that it was talking about a type of carbon that was slaughtered, that there wasn't even time in the day to spray it. How so? The shachtei samlach shkiyas sachama. It was slaughtered right before sundown. Now, so such a case, you didn't even have time to spray it. Vein metamet tumas eichlin. That's the case that he says that it became nicer before the zrika, meaning to say before even that you were able to do the zrika, there it's not going to be contracting tumas eichlin because it never had any edibility at any point in time. But if it, let's say, it became nicer after it was at least able to be sprayed, to have yishoyis b'yem lemizrike, where there was time and day to spray it, even though they didn't spray it, the blood, it will contract to mesaychen. Why? Amma, so you see, kala oimid lizer kazarik dami. At least if it was oimid, it had the ability to have the blood sprayed, we view it as if it was sprayed. And therefore, had it been sprayed, it would have been an oichel that could now be eaten. Then it would contract to masoichel. We see from Rabbi Shimon, which explains Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation, that as long as you were able to spray it, it's like it was sprayed already, and therefore in this halacha it's considered an oichel. And so to Rabbi Yechanan, the shechita is materis, because even though you didn't throw the blood yet, but since you could, it's like it was already thrown. And that's why it's going to be considered a shechita haru'uya for Rabbi Shimon to say that you can mechayev tzvicha for the dal of the hay. Again, in the case of Rabbi Yechanan explained where he did it shalei l'shma inside the Beis HaMikdash, so it was a shechita ru'uya, because the shechita is what's materis, even though the blood's not thrown, because it's imli zarek. Now, so too for Ish Lakish's interpretation, anything that's standing, that's ready to be redeemed, it's like it was redeemed, which again answers for the question that was asked on Ish Lakish, where, wait a second, the shechita of a balmum outside is not materesid, it has to still have the padiyah, and that we're saying, no, you don't need the redemption, because it's like it was redeemed already. And if the shechita is what's materesid, the time like in the braisa. Shimon says, is a continuing type of Ayin Zayin Amid Aleph, the smallest Amid in Shas, that says, para, the paraduma, the red heifer, which is used when they burn it and they take the ashes and they mix it with water and they spray it on the person that has tumas mess. So the meat of the paraduma, says Rib Shimon, mitama tumas eichon, could contract the tuma of edible items, which that's what meat is. Now, why is that? Hay v'hoysla shasa kesha. I mean, because although at some point it does become asa bahana, but there was a moment of viability, meaning to eat it, from when it was slaughtered, and therefore at that moment when it was slaughtered, before the procedures were ended, and therefore at that moment when you had slaughtered it, and it wasn't slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, it was slaughtered outside the Paraduma, so it had an edible status on it that it could have been eaten, which again, that's the criterion of Reb Shimon of being Mekabel Tumas Eichel. Now, as we continue to tell Medeis, Vamer Shlokesh, Reb Shlokesh said, when was there a Shas HaKosh, when was there a time for this carbon, which is what a Paraduma is on some level, to have its meat being eaten, to say that it's edible, to say, isn't it a carbon? Who could eat it before the processes are finished? And when it's finished, it's asa b'hanah. So he said, because Reb Shimon said, another halacha, which is related to this, para niftis, the paraduma could be redeemed, even if it was already slaughtered already, agabe marachasa, on the place where it gets burnt, where it gets tied down and then it gets burnt. And that halacha would be, for example, if let's say they find a better paraduma than this one, which as the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos explains, that so then you could actually go ahead, even though it was slaughtered already, redeem it, and go ahead and get a different paraduma and bring that instead. So it's at that point in time when it's what's called the Shas HaKosh. It's a moment of viability for it to be eaten, because even though it wasn't redeemed, even so it's going to be considered at that point in time as an oichel, since it's fit to be redeemed. Because if you found another one, then you would be able to redeem it. Says the Gemara, Amma, so you see, which answers for a Shlokish interpretation, Kala Oimer Lepadis Kepadi Dami. Whatever stands to be redeemed, it's like it was redeemed, because he says every paraduma, the meat becomes able to be Mekabel Tuma. Why? Why is Mekabel Tuma? Where's the viability? Because if we would want to, we would be able to redeem it at this point in time. So it's Kala Oimer Lepadis is Kepadi Dami. So therefore, that answers for a Shlokish interpretation when there's a Baal Mum, when someone steals an animal that's kachim from someone else, which again we said that he's chayiv b'achrayis, that original owner. So therefore it's considered a gurum b'sa ish. And then he slaughters it, although that you still have to go out and redeem it. So the question that was asked, that toy bar balaza, that wait a second, the shechita is not permitting it, so that cannot be considered b'tavach. It is the shechita that's permitting it, because since you could do the pidyon at that point in time, we view it as if it already has the pidyon, so therefore automatically the slaughter is what's permitting it, even though obviously you do need to have a pidyon at the end, but the shechita is itself being considered as materis, and that's why we resolve these two interpretations from Biach and Rish Lakish, how to explain for Reb Shimon that it is going to be considered, besides what he was addressing, to be considered a gunim abeis ish, that it will be considered a tavach too, that it will be considered halachically shechita ru'uyah.